guys, and welcome back to another episode of Your Brains Coach podcast. My name is Angela Sharina. I'm your host. I'm your brains coach and my own brains coach as well. And we are here together, and I'm here to bring you, to share with you, to unlock for you all the recent cutting-edge, most profound, useful, and interesting brain-body tools so you can take better control of your thoughts, of your emotions, of your actions, of your efforts, of your attitudes, and most importantly, yes, of your actions, so you could shape, so you can create the exact life and life experience that you desire. Today, folks, to start with, before we jump into the recent most developed and research cutting-edge tools to unlock connection with other people through communication and the book Super Communicators by Charles Duhigg. I believe that's the pronunciation of his name. I just looked it up, but still not sure. Anyhow, I'd like to start our conversation today with something I learned yesterday about grit. Grit is the quality that we all need to build anything relatively good. You cannot expect to just land onto building something good and definitely not great. So we all need grit to be able to create something awesome in this life, or again, something even relatively good, whether that's our health, our relationships, or our business. And I learned that grit actually is a combination of two things, passion and perseverance. So for long-term goals specifically, we all hear we need to be grittier, we need to be resilient ourselves, and we need to develop people who are grittier and resilient so they withstand all the challenges, all the difficulties, all of the things, all the curveballs that life throws at us, and get to the other side with more lessons, more innovation, and solutions to the world's biggest problems. But how do we actually do that? And I found that learning about definitions from psychologists and researchers of those nebulous terms helps me to understand the terms better and then help to develop these qualities in myself and other people. So grit, when I learned that it's what's agreed by researchers, it's a combination of passion and perseverance. So basically showing up day after day after day, despite the challenges, and putting the work in despite how you feel, right? So combination of passion and perseverance for long-term goals, that's what grit is. And when you develop it, when you get to have a good quality of that characteristics, that's when you really have a chance to become good and become great. And as leaders, also as you, as most of us are, whether we're leaders in our family unit or in our company or in our whatever collective we're a part of, we always have the opportunity to play leadership role at some moment or the other. And we need to be able to develop the grit in ourselves and in other people in order to build something great together. And grit, it's the understanding that it's a combination of passion and perseverance for long-term goals helped me, and also the understanding that what stands in a way of having consistent, sustainable passion and perseverance, what stands in the way is fear and fatigue. Understanding of those principles helped me to look at grit differently. And when I work with my clients and I work on my own grit in a certain aspects of my life, like building business, building the practice to help a lot more people. So understanding of those things is helping me to develop better tools to, again, help others and help myself to develop that grit to have a chance to build something great. And I wanted to share that with you. Do you understand what grit is? Have you ever taken a test or any sort of assessment of your grit? Might be that you lack greed and that's why you give up on things too early, or you don't persevere long enough and hard enough to give a chance to your vision, to your idea. Ideas and visions, great things. If you want to develop something awesome in this life, we need to have greed. And so in the show notes today, there is an assessment of your greed level from one of the top researchers that I'm aware of, Angela Duckworth, who wrote a book on greed. So see where you are on your scale of greediness. And also think to yourself today, am I high on passion consistently? Am I high on perseverance consistently? And if not, what can be holding back? Fear or fatigue? Do some self-reflection, some writing. Are you fearful of something in the future or in your past? And then on the perseverance, on the fatigue, sorry guys, do you invest enough into your mental, physical, emotional recovery, sleep and breaks and mental and emotional restoration? Do you manage yourself well, your recovery well, so then you prevent fatigue and you can develop that long-term passion and perseverance, which translates into long-term greed, which translates in having more chances of building something great. So that's a prelude, sharing my knowledge as I go as well. My ranking for greed is quite high, but just like Angela Duckworth mentions, we possess different characteristics, different qualities, not evenly in all areas of your life, of our life. So my greed for fitness, for health might be like skyrocketing, and my greed for business, for things like sales might not be there yet. And I have ways to improve that. And that's totally okay. So when you have certain quality develop strongly in one area, you can tap into that and ask yourself, how can I develop the same quality in the other areas where I'm lacking progress that I seek to make? So some good questions to ponder on. And speaking of questions, let's get back to our book, the topic of today, book study, Super Communicators, How to Unlock the Secret Language of Connection by Charles Duhigg, who also wrote a book on productivity, who also wrote a book, amazing book on habit, the power of habit. So look up Charles Duhigg. You'll find a link to his book, Super Communicators, who I and apparently Kevin Rose, if you're familiar with him, are geeking out about. Because, folks, communication is everything, what I got to learn. And when we lack that ability to communicate effectively, we're going to be lacking in a lot of areas. From our relationships, that's I think, quite obvious that if we're not great at communication, we're not going to be developing great relationships. To also our business and also our health. The concept of deeper health is all about relationships. And not only that, the data shows that people, for example, who live the longest, one core characteristic of all of them is that they develop strong, deep relationships that carry them through all the challenges of life. And as I said, and as you probably know, communication is the key to building strong relationships. And in my life, I have not developed great relationships. And that is because I believe I lacked certain communication skills. You see, as I learned in this book, communication is two ways. I think I developed or had the potential to develop quite great communications because I have this capacity, however it developed, whether that talent and nurture also, but I have this capacity to read people, their gestures, emotions, what's happening inside of them. I'm good at reading those nonverbal cues, nonverbal communication. But what lacked on my side is being able to communicate it back, to open up, to communicate my feelings and emotions and communicate from the perspective or from the point of vulnerability. And now that I'm analyzing my childhood and how I was brought up, I believe a big part of it was or maybe the major part of it, and the only part was my family culture in my family. And maybe that's actually whole Russia that has this tendency to communicate at a certain level of practicality. So what I mean by that? Well, in our family, we did not talk much about our feelings, good or bad. We just did not talk about how we felt. It was more about, like, what's the problem and how do we solve it? We rarely, if ever, unless there was conflict and it escalated to the point of bursting into tears or, from my father's side, anger. But until that peaked at that point, we hardly ever communicated the gratitude, the good emotions, or more subtle emotions like sadness or loneliness or sometimes grief for one reason or the other. And it was more, again, on a practical side, like, what's the problem and let's throw solutions at it. Whereas what I'm learning, communication actually happens on three levels. First, practical, like, what's the problem? Let's solve it. Let's figure things out. Level number two, that everyone would say probably that is even more important, or maybe not. Maybe you are a little bit like myself, who never really thought about the importance of communicating your feelings because of the way you brought up. And because also in our society, it's not that common to communicate your feelings because that is a more vulnerable place, right? So the second conversation that is happening is, how do we feel? And let's acknowledge it. Let's bring it to the table. And let's communicate from that point as well. So in my family, I not developed the skill of communicating my emotions effectively, and I didn't realize that my emotions were just as essential to communicate and to talk about in the context of my life as practicality. And also because of that, I believe in my family and in many family units, you don't develop that. It seems like you are the closest people. You are a family unit who spend the most time together, but very often, because we don't communicate emotions often, you don't develop this strong connection, even between family members. And that's what I'm on a small mission also to develop in my family, communicating the feelings. Like, my father, I think, is the prime example of, I still don't know most of the time what my father is feeling. And because he was, you know, quite a prominent figure when I was growing up, I also did not learn that skill from him, how to communicate your emotion and why it's important. So this is a conversation number two that is always happening, that a very important conversation that we need to acknowledge if we want to build deep and meaningful relationships and connections with people fast, right? The book Super Communicators is how to unlock the secret language of connection. If you want to connect with people, if you want to move people, if you want to lead people, if you want to change people and yourself, you got to learn how to communicate on those three levels. Practicality, we kind of all understand, but it's not the most important, actually, conversation. What we feel is the second conversation. And how do we belong, or who we are, or our social place and interactions and different hierarchies and dynamic in the social structure of our society. We human beings, like many other animals, are tribal animals. And we need to understand, how do we relate? How do we connect? Where do we stand? And that is a third part, our third conversation that is happening when we talk to each other. And we need to be able to understand what conversation is happening at this moment, what the other person is talking about, and whether they want to be what I want also is taught at school to teach us how to interact with students better. Do we want to be hugged, helped, or heard? Helped, obviously, how do we solve this problem? Hugged, understanding that we have feelings, and sometimes we want to communicate our feelings. We want to be acknowledged what we are feeling. We want this to be acknowledged. And then also heard is about our social belonging, like who we are, what tribe do we belong? Are we in our tribe, or we do not belong here? or do also heard and seen in our tribe, among our peers, or among our mentors and mentees. So three conversations that are happening. That's the lesson, the most important lesson from this book that you want to understand. And so giving you my personal example, in my relationships, I would often jump into this practical mode that was a default in my family. Whereas a lot of times, especially with women and female friends, what was actually needed is a feeling conversation, and very often a social conversation, who we are, where do we belong. And I wouldn't communicate on those levels, and I would jump into a practicality and look for those practical pieces of advice that I could give, whereas the other person would need me to open up about my feelings, would need me to acknowledge their feelings instead of kind of brushing them off and then jumping into action. And I believe that's why for quite a long period in my life, I wasn't able to build deeper connections and relationships, from friendships to romantic relationships to even with my clients. Like, I wouldn't be able to go into depth because I wasn't offering that conversation about feelings and about our social status. And now that I'm aware of, I'm putting that into practice wherever I can. Sometimes it's with friends, sometimes it's with family, with my dad as well. Sometimes it's with people I interact with through my daily life, whether that's a shop assistant or a driver in Uber or a barista in a coffee shop. I purposefully turn to feelings and who we are conversations. And now let's talk about, so how do you do that? And by the way, when you start speaking and you start noticing, okay, what is this person talking to me about? Do they want to solve a problem? Do they want to be heard? Do they want to be helped? Do they want to be hugged? Once you start listening for the cues of what conversation is actually happening, and you start getting or connecting to that conversation and speaking about the same thing and opening up yourself, that's where you start building stronger and deeper and more meaningful connections faster. So let's get to practicality. We probably all understand when the conversation is more practical, maybe not. And you can probe, that's what Charles also talks about in his book. You can probe the person what conversations they'd like to continue by asking the right kind of questions and proposing of, and sometimes even asking, do you want me to help you to solve this problem? Or do you want to just talk about how you feel and what's happening inside of you? And given enough time and prompts, people will tell you, because they know whether, like a lot of couples I know, and I've been in that situation, sometimes you just want to the other person to acknowledge how you feel inside. You don't want them to solve your problem. And especially, you know, it usually happens on the dynamic that guys try to solve problems, women try to communicate their feelings, and we kind of don't always meet each other. On my side, I always try to jump into practicality, whereas the other person might more often than not want to talk about their feelings and their feelings to be acknowledged and just share what they're experiencing inside. So anyhow, asking questions about whether people want to talk about practical solutions, or sometimes what I found more useful is to ask the person, well, yeah, that must be quite a lot to be going through. How do you feel? What's happening inside of you? How are you dealing with that? So I would now lean into that conversation more often and see if the person starts talking more about their feelings. That means that the conversation they wanted to have. And if they kind of very short and they start talking about more practical stuff, then that's a cue for me to, yeah, they probably want to be helped, not so much talk about their feelings at the moment. So questions, all this probing, like what is the conversation that is happening? The next practical advice to build meaningful, deeper connections fast that Charles offers us, there are three main pieces of advice to get better at communicating, at connecting with other people. So the piece number one is first ask for deeper stuff. Don't ask for practicality or simple facts of biography. Like, for example, if you talk to someone who you've just met, might be a barista, someone you just met as a friend at some class or at work or at a networking event, might be an Uber driver. That's, you know, one of the my favorite ways to kind of practice stuff. Instead of asking simply about the fact of their biography, okay, where were you born? What school did you go to? What do you do? Ask, you can ask those questions, but then ask a follow-up. How does it feel to do, how do you feel about your work? Do you like it? Do you love it? What do you love most about your work? What do you not like about your work? Ask about feelings. Or what was the, what are some best memories that you lived through experience while doing your work? If you ask about their, I don't know, childhood, for example, how did it feel to be growing up there? These days, often when I say my dad is Ukrainian, my mom is Russian, people would ask, how does it feel? And you see, here, there is a chance for me to open up, to share my feelings. That's what people want to hear. People do not want to hear some statistical facts about the war and that it's all being about politics. People want to hear my side of the story. Like, what do I feel being in this situation? And once I started sharing my feelings, which is a more vulnerable place, people started to connect faster and deeper to me as a human being. So folks, when you ask for feelings, also, if you want to build connections fast, and if you want that to be two-way connection, you got to also open up about your vulnerable self, about your feelings, about your emotions, what's inside of you, like what's happening. That's what most people trying to find, to figure out, to connect with you. So advice number one, ask deeper questions about meaningful memories and experiences and feelings, and then reciprocate, share that, but not in a way that steals spotlight. But just contribute to the conversation. If the person wants to continue, let them continue. And then say, yeah, I can totally understand that because I went through da-da-da-da-da. And then you share a little bit and you ask questions so they can share more. So that's the first thing. Ask questions about feelings. Realize when that is the conversation that's happening. And I'm not sure where you are with your communication style, whether you grew up like myself, where you communicated more about practical stuff than feelings much, much more. Or in your family, you are used to communicating your feelings. And because of that, you communicate it better in your relationships. From what I can say, what's happening in the world, this mental health and loneliness epidemic, a lot of people are not that great at expressing and communicating their emotions and sharing their vulnerable places to connect better and deeper. So figure that out. Ask deeper questions about emotions, meaningful memories and experiences, and how did that feel, or how does it feel, what the person is going through or went through, and then share yours in return. The second step is, when we communicate, and especially when we communicate or something more vulnerable, more delicate, something more in a conflict or possible conflict side of things, you communicate with a person who you might have a lot of differences in perspectives and opinions or backgrounds. The second piece, important piece of having those conversations to build connection instead of building animosity or building that wall between us. So the second skill that you need to learn is look for understanding. Don't look for to try to be right or try to change other people. No, that's not the first step. When you start with trying to change other person, you already lost. And the person we always feel when somebody's there with their agenda instead of understanding us better or figuring out what it is that we mean. So start with understanding means asking more questions. Reflecting back to the person you're understanding or what they said. It must be difficult for you to go or to be in a situation when part of your family is on the other side of the war, or the other part is on the other part. So you must be feeling X, and the person, yes or no, you know, I actually feel that. And then you reflect back. So you feel this and this because of that. Is that correct? Right? So ask questions and then reflect back what the person told you to show them that you're trying to understand them better. And then ask for confirmation. Did I get it right? Is that right? And then the person will tell you like whether that's right or whether they have something else to add to that conversation. And especially when we have differences of opinions and we are almost in a conflict type of situation, that's especially if you want the other person to even hear what you say, you first gotta make them aware that you're trying to understand and hear them first instead of just announcing your agenda. So look for understanding first. That's the advice from Charles. And I so can find myself on the other side of not so effective communication, where I would try to pursue it and tell everything that the person should know, why my perspective, my opinion is right, my point of view is right, and obviously the other person did not get that idea that everything I say is right and their perspective is not valid or not up to date enough. So look for understanding. And now more and more I'm asking questions. I'm trying to just understand, because at the end of the day, if I understand them, at least I have a chance to change, to improve something. And if I don't seek to understand them, I have zero chances. And so who's winning then? Right. And but the most important thing, it's not about winning or losing or even changing each other's opinions. It's about better understanding. So look for understanding by asking questions, by reflecting, re-saying what the other person told you to make them see that you're trying to understand, and then ask questions to clarify, to confirm. So that the skill to develop, the second skill, one of the most important skills, look for understanding with this tool, or loop for understanding, actually, that's the exact phrasing from the book, by asking people to tell you more and then telling them what you heard and then confirming that you understood them well and correctly. And then the third tool that you need to get better at and work on, I think that was actually one that I was quite good at. See non-verbal cues and then match them. And here is, I'm not talking about just seeing them putting legs in cross-legged position or sitting in a certain way or putting the hat on one side or holding your palms together in a certain position like the other person does. Here, what Charles means, actually matching. Yes, position is, you know, physical position is good, but what is even better, to match the energy and the mood of the other person. Here is what he means. Energy. Is it high? Is it enthusiastic? Or are you screaming with, you know, anger and frustration? So is it high or is it low? Is it subtle? Like, where is the energy, right? I would often, though, do that the person is low on energy and I would try to come in with that high energy. And that was a mistake. You first got to meet people where they are. So match the energy that is in the room if you want to communicate effectively with people. And then the second part of this matching nonverbal cues is mood. Is it positive or negative? Is that the person who's cheerful, or are they more on a maybe lonely or maybe dissatisfied or frustrated side? Now, Charles doesn't say that we need to completely match that emotional, energetic state. When people are angry, we should also scream, or when people are sad and, you know, experiencing really hard negative emotion, we shouldn't be matching them, but we should come closer and acknowledge the things that they're feeling. And not try to brush them off or say, well, you know, if you're in a better mood, like I would do also, then you can solve your problems better. And again, you see, back to practicality. Well, maybe the person doesn't want to solve their problem right now. They just want their feelings to be heard, to be acknowledged. And they want to experience that and understand that and live through that and figure that out. And for me to come in with my attitude and my mood and trying to say, this is the right way to be, that is so insensitive. And we so often do that. And that is not the way to communicate effectively. First, we got to acknowledge people and meet them where they are or closer to that. What Charles shared, Charles in the book shares a lot of examples and stories that he's amazing at doing so. And he says that when we come closer to what people are feeling, acknowledging what they're going through instead of brushing them off and trying to lead them to the place where we think they should be, then people are open to hear what we have to say, and they are open to connect and to build the relationship together again, whether that's friendship, just human to human, whether that's romantic, whether that's in a family unit. First, acknowledge and mimic and match what other people experience instead of, again, I do see myself guilty in that regard as well, that I'm often would try to brush off what people are going through and instead tell them how they should be feeling so they get better. So the third piece of advice, see, notice nonverbal communication or cues and match them. And that goes to two aspects, energy, high, enthusiastic or high with anger or frustration, or low, more subtle, and mood, is it positive or negative? And try to match it and not necessarily putting yourself in that same feeling and energetic state, but acknowledge it, acknowledge where people are, and then hear the conversations here that they want to have. Is it feeling? Is it how do we belong and who we are? Or is it practicality? Do you want to be hugged, helped, or heard? And then loop for understanding, ask questions, reflect it back to people, say it back to people, ask more questions to confirm that you understood them right, and just keep looping. And that's how we communicate more effectively. We meet people where they are, we start to understand them better, and through that understanding, we unlock connection, and through that connection, we can do anything better together. So I've definitely learned quite a lot of lessons about myself, and I did some journaling and I looked into my family history. I'm like, oh, no wonder why I communicate that well. Oh, no wonder people say it's hard to connect to you and you look like that perfect example of, I don't know, motivation and having it all together, even though I don't have it all together. But that's why people find it hard to connect to me, because number one, I don't open up about my feelings and I don't talk much about my feelings. Well, now I do more, but that's still not my default, because in my family, that was never a tradition. So it's hard work rewiring now, but I'm growing and improving, right? So no wonder people couldn't connect to me, because I wouldn't open up. I wouldn't have the conversation about feelings and about how do we belong and where do we belong together. And then looking for understanding, right? Understanding other people, that was also like huge for me. I would kind of assume that I understand people better than they are. And that's why also we couldn't connect. I see so many mistakes that I've done. And I believe that the more I practice this concept from this book, Super Communicators, the better I get at building connections and the better everything gets. Because at the end of the day, what was my understanding and is my understanding in that it's all about connection. It's all about relationships and it's all about communication, because that's how we build connections and relationships. And so if we don't become decently good at it, we're going to miss out on everything from our relationships to our work opportunities and business opportunities to even our health and longevity, as data from Blue Zones, the places on earth where people live the longest, shows us that the one common denominator, they all have great, deep, meaningful relationships. And again, look at the world. They say it's mental health epidemic, it's loneliness epidemic. So what's the cause? Not building deep connections, relationships, basically being super bad at communication. So I believe Super Communicators, How to Unlock the Secret Language of Connection, is the must book that everyone today needs to read. So please do read. Please learn the skills. Please re-listen to this podcast, book study, and recognize yourself in those instances. Where are you? Do you know what conversation is happening? And do you speak the same language, the same, do you talk about the same thing, feeling, practicality, or where do we belong? Do you look for understanding? Do you match other people's energy and mood? So look at these tools, understand where you are and work on improving that and see how everything else from health to your relationships to your business will start improving. I'm definitely seeing that already. So pick up the book, folks. If you don't like it, I'll pay you the money back. I guarantee you it's going to be quite a revelation. The link to the book and also to the Grit Scale by Angela Duckworth, the links are in the show notes. Check them out. Don't forget to share this podcast with at least one person who might benefit from building better relationships and deeper connections with other people. So sharing is caring. We make this world better together, folks. So listen to the podcast, then share, and also reach out if I can help you anyhow. If you'd like to have a deeper conversation or understanding of any concept, check out the link. And till next time, folks, keep connecting and work on understanding other people better. Talk to you soon. Have an awesome connecting kind of day.